Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Real with Sage Single Moms. I'm your host, Patricia Taylor. I have a special guest on. It's Toni Matson, who is a registered nurse, an author, an inspirational blogger, a licensed minister who resides in Georgia. Her work has been noted in Zoe Inspirational, Zoe Inspired Devotional, and in AACN Critical Care Nursing Magazine. She's a proud mother of three. She also has a ministry called One Word for Life Ministry. Say hi to the people, Toni.
Hello, everyone.
So today's topic, we're going to be talking about single, saving, surviving. I wanted to start off with what started the One Word book. That was one of your books, The One Word.
The funny thing is, it actually started as a Facebook post for the year of 2015, January the 1st. I just started posting one word a day. I would just post a word, a pretty picture, and say something about the word. And after the 30 days was over, I wrote the words down and didn't think anything else about them. So I went on with my life for the rest of the year. And right at the beginning of the year, the Holy Spirit was like, pull out your words. And so I pull out the words, I'm looking at them, and he just showed me, he began to show me a book, and I started writing. So for the month of January and pretty much February, I just started writing the book. And then he started putting people in my path to where I could get it self-published, because I knew nothing about writing a book. I knew nothing about self-publishing. I knew nothing. So I know this was nobody but God. And so that's pretty much how it came about. He gave me one word, because basically, you know, it does not take a lot. You don't have to spend 5 hours a day in the word, and be a scholar. You know, you can get a word, hit it, quit it, and just let that word minister to you for the day. So that's pretty much where one word came from.
Yeah, okay. Now, from that, that's how you developed the book, but now you have one word life ministry. So that grow from the book, or that was something totally different?
No, it did come from the book, because after I did the book and the book was published, I was like, now what? I knew that the book, it wasn't for monetary gain. I knew that it wasn't about, you know, me going out and just sell, becoming this top, you know, Pulitzer Prize or, you know, famous author. I knew there was a purpose behind the book. So I kind of was not stagnant, but I didn't do a lot about it. I didn't market a lot. I didn't do too much. I just kept praying, asking God what he wanted me to do. What was the purpose of the book? And so it was probably about April or so. No, I take it back. It was later than April. But somewhere about the middle of the year, he just began to show me the ministry and the purpose of the ministry, which is to spread the gospel, but also to sow seeds into other ministries and organizations, not always financial seeds, which took me a little later to learn that part, but just to sow seeds into other ministries and support other ministries, and just spread the word. So I also have a webpage, www.wordsbymapson.com, and on that page, typically daily, I will post not a one word, but a short word, just some encouragement or just things I'm going through. I'm sharing that type of thing, and it's just something that I do. And I typically would share it on my Twitter page and my Facebook page as well. So all of that is under the umbrella of One Word for Life Ministry.
Okay. That's great. That's awesome. And that's just to encourage people, you know, One Word, with all of this stuff going on, the book, also now the ministry. And you talk a little bit about once you did the book and the ministry about your purpose. And I'm guessing your purpose and destiny goes together most of the time. So do you have that all figured out, your purpose, your destiny, your calling, some people may say?
Well, well, during the time period of 2015, I was also called to preach. So in the 2015 year, I also became a licensed minister at the end of the year. It's actually when I preached my initial sermon, and I became licensed on the Missionary Baptist Church. So I know that my purpose and my calling, of course, is to preach the gospel. I don't have a specific audience. I know that I relate a lot with women, of course, because I'm a female and I've been through a lot, but I don't want to limit my ministry to just women. I feel, you know, God is for everyone. So whatever I can share or however I can share with men and women. So that's typically my ministry right now.
Okay. So you feel like your calling was called to preach. So
yes.
2015 was a busy year for you.
Yes, it has been a very busy year. Like, first of all, I had to get through the whole thing. Like, you called me to preach because, you know, I have a story. Everybody has a story, but I have a story. And I was like, okay, you got kidding me. So, you know, I had to go through all of that. And then getting through that was just a trial in itself and learning how to be patient and just to wait because, you know, God calls us and he equips us, he qualifies us, but we still have to go through the, we still have to go through the necessary steps with men, or not women, but, you know, people. I'll say it that way, people. So I had to go through that whole transition. And then to be licensed and then to sit down and write a book that I didn't know anything about writing a book, and it was a busy year. And then I did additional books after that. So I have about 4 books that came all within that same year. I did my first one, One Word, and then I did Daily Prayer. Then I did Speak to the Mountain, which is a book of prayers. And I'm also a licensed nurse, which we had mentioned. And then I also did a book about fasting. Praise, prayer, and purposeful fasting for encouragement during fasting. So, yeah, I've been very busy.
Well, we're going to take it back a little bit. So how did the journey of you becoming saved all started? Because you became a minister and, you know, the One Word and the One Word ministry, but you had to become saved and have a, you know, good relationship with God before all of that started, right?
Right, exactly. So let's say I wasn't one of those, I wasn't raised in the church. So we didn't go to Bible study and Sunday school and all that. So I was not raised in the church. I was like one of what they call the CME saint, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. I started going to this particular church probably when my oldest son, who's now 26, was 4. And it actually was his, it was him that actually had me start going to church because we rolled past this church and he said, Mom, I want to go to church. He's 4 years old, right? So I started going to the church. So I started going to the church. And at the time, I don't think I was married, but I was dating. And we did eventually get married and divorced. But anyway, in that time period, you know how you get baptized and, well, you don't, I don't know if you know, but you get baptized and I was going to church, but I didn't really have that relationship. So that's pretty much where I was for the most part. Then I got married, became more active in the church, still wasn't like right, you know, there. I'll still say that. So I got, you know, saved a long time ago. But just was doing the straddling the fence type stuff, going to church and still going out and doing my thing and blah, blah, blah. So after my divorce from my spouse, I moved back to Virginia. I joined the church there, was kind of doing okay, went through that healing process. But I was in Atlanta more when I moved away than I was when I lived here, if that makes sense. I was, like, always in Atlanta. So I felt the Spirit just urging me back to Atlanta, even though I was just doing some crazy, crazy stuff. I came back here still doing crazy stuff. And it was really hard to go back to my church. But I did go back to my church, and I was still doing some crazy stuff. But then I noticed God started separating me. He started separating me from the lifestyle, the people. You know, I wasn't happy. I wasn't, like, I would be out with my friends, and I'm looking around like, why am I here? You know, just crazy stuff. So some things transpired, and that's when I finally realized, okay, I've got to realize who I am, my worth, and what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. So I guess you could kind of say I kind of concentrated myself probably about 2 years before I even realized the journey that he was about to take me to or take me on. So it was a lot of healing and self-discovery and all that that took place. And then I finally realized, okay, I can't keep straddling this fence. I've either got to make a decision to choose life or choose death. And it got that serious for me.
It will get serious. Now.
Yeah, it definitely.
Life gets serious, quick, fast, in a hurry. So you say, you've been through some different things and everything. You know, we talked about you said something about Holy Spirit. Do you dwell in God's word daily? Do you meditate?
Say that again now.
Do you dwell in God's word daily? Meditate, prayer?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I pray without ceasing. I'm driving, all of that. Yes, all of that. I mean, it's to the point now where I literally will go stand in my closet and be like, okay, what you want me to put on today? I mean, it's just that serious for me. Like, I really am like, I need to, you know, I need to make sure whatever I'm doing that is Holy Spirit led. I don't want to do anything out of my own accord or my own will, because every time I've done things, I've messed up completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
totally have messed up. Totally.
Yeah, but you're in a better place now. You and God, y'all have more of a good relationship, a closer relationship. There's always another level to go with the Lord. He brings you this far, so you always have another level to take you to and different things He wants us to do and stuff. So what are some of the things you may be currently working on? I know you talked about the One Word Ministry, which was birthed in 2015. We're here in 2017 on the urge to go into 2018. So what are some new things you are working on?
Well, right now I am kind of getting more out there, like doing this, for instance, podcast. I've done a couple of radio shows. So I'm kind of getting out there now and getting a feel for it. I did join with another women's ministry. So we have a lot of events coming up for the next year. Another women's conference. I'm a part of a ministry called Living for His Purpose Ministry, and that's out of Abundant Mercy Christian Church. So right now that's kind of what I'm doing. Right now I'm also in that stage of meditating even more and asking for clarity to see what he wants me to be doing for the next year. Some people ask me about another book, but I don't see that. So I just see now just kind of probably strengthening my ministry and doing more with the One Word for Life ministry for the upcoming year. Because I also started an inspirational cup line at the end of this year. He gave me a cup. My first cup I did this year. Of course, my brand is sort of like purple, and my cups are, it says you can't duplicate what you don't know in 2 Timothy 2:15. So that's a part of the ministry as well. So I've got another, I got a few more cups that'll probably come out in the upcoming year.
Okay, sounds, that sounds awesome, wonderful. The cups mine. Now, are you currently still single?
Yes, I am still very much single. Have been singled, single and saved and celibate and all of that for a long time. yeah, definitely still single.
Okay. Are you enjoying your singleness? Or are you looking to get married?
I am. I'm enjoying my singleness. I'm not looking to get married, but if it happens, I welcome it. before God called me, I was actually in two relationships, and I had to set those relationships aside. And that was kind of hard. But you know, when you look at things, you know, we as women are so emotional. So I was involved with, you know, two different guys. And one of them, I really, really loved this guy. I really liked him. But I knew that he didn't, you know, feel the same about me. It was more of a, you know, it was convenience or whatever, whatever. And there were so many signs, like so many times, you know, I would stop seeing him and then we'd get back together. I'd stop seeing him, we'd get back together. I mean, it was just crazy. And I was like, one day I just sat down and I took out a piece of paper and I wrote down on one side, you know, like what he doesn't do. And I put God on the other side. Well, we all know, you know, no physical man really is going to ever measure up to what, you know, God will provide for us. So okay. That's when I finally made a decision. Okay, Tony, know your worth and walk away from this thing completely. So I was able to do that. So I am single. I'm happy with my single, but I do still have those days. I mean, I am human, where mm-hmm. it would be nice to have a man to, you know, talk to or to call and go out to dinner with or, you know, whatever, whatever. Well, not whatever, whatever, but to go out to dinner with and to talk to or, you know, fix my car, give me some good advice, you know, all of that good stuff. So I do have my moments, but they're few, they're far in between. They don't come very often. I'm actually very happy with being single. I'm not looking for a husband at all because, you know, the word says a man to find as a wife find is a good thing. So I just do what I do. I just keep doing me, you know.
Awesome, awesome. Now, I know you say you minister mostly to women, but, you know, your ministry is for everyone. Do you talk a lot to single women who may be having a hard time being single?
I talk to single women, and I talk to married women as well, because I've also been married and divorced. I have noticed where sometimes I have been put in position to speak with married women who think they need to get out, you know. And I don't think I mentioned this before, but even with my marriage, you know, my divorce, it was totally my fault. And most women won't admit that, but it was totally me. I asked for the divorce. It was just whatever. But it was probably about a year or two after our separation where God just took me in his word and just showed me he's not for divorce. And not in my case anyway, because neither one of us was spiritually dead. There was nothing, you know, like that. So it was totally me. So I talked to single women and I talked to married women as well. I think that with single women, what I run into is a lot of, I just got to be married. I just got to be married. And you're willing to accept, you know, whatever, because you just want to be married. And I think that we as women, we need to know who we are, and we need to be respected and carry ourselves in a way to where we're respected and not just putting up with anything. So yes, I do talk to single women.
I'm glad you said that, because I noticed that I'm also single. I have been married too. And some of us ladies feel like it's like a curse to be single. It's nothing wrong with being single. It's nothing wrong with being married either. But you definitely don't want to rush things, and you want to marry the right person, a person that God got for you, just not any old body. And I'm glad that you mentioned also that, you know, during some times, because we all need healing, you took a break to find out who you are, what was your purpose and stuff. And we definitely need to know who we are, who we want to be married to, meaning what kind of mate mm-hmm. would suit us. And that's, you know, mm-hmm. all we have to take time.
Yeah, and you can't make somebody into what you want them to be. We have to recognize that. When you see that red flag, okay, that's it. Don't be like, okay, I see that red flag, but if I flip this to the side and turn this over this way or do this way, maybe, you know, the red flag will go down. I mean, if you see the red flag, you see the red flag. That means go.
Most definitely. Now, I know as a minister, you know, preaching and ministering to people, that's like a full-time job, and you say you're a nurse, and how you balance all of that, plus you're a mom.
Well, I just take each day one day at a time. You know, I know it sounds cliche, but it's the truth. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So I just keep whatever a lot of people say, I'm always busy, but I'm not tired. I get enough sleep. Like, as soon as this call is over, I'll be going to bed because my bedtime is 8 o'clock. I just, you know, it is what it is. I have a great career. I love what I do. I just recently got a new position with the company I work for that I really enjoy, because it's back to being more hands-on and educating our members. So I have a little bit more flexibility with my scheduling and things like that. So it just all works out. I did step back from some things, but that's more because I just want to give more time to what I'm supposed to be doing. My children are pretty much, well, right now my son, he's 26, he's a truck driver. My daughter's 19, she's taking some classes. So, and then my youngest is 16, he actually lives with his father, who lives too far from me, and we all go to the same church. So, you know, it just balances well, just really balances well.
That's awesome. So your kids are more self-sufficient. They're not babies and stuff like that. But how was it when you first got divorced and you had to become a single mom over again? That was a little challenging.
It was a little challenging. Yes, it was. It was a little challenging, which is one of the reasons I went back home as well. I lived in Virginia. Roanoke, Virginia is my home. I went back home thinking that if I went back home, I could, you know, have help because I had more family there. But anyway, so that didn't really work out the way that I thought it would. My oldest one, he actually was, you know, how they get in that little age where he thought he was smelling himself. So when I moved back here, I had to end up leaving him in Roanoke for a while and let him kind of get a feel for things, which I have to tell you, that is a challenge in itself when we have children and they get at that age and, you know, you can't really do anything with them because they think they know everything, whatever. And you have to let them experience life for themselves. That's one of the hardest things I've experienced as a mother, single or not, because I realized that if I did too much, I was enabling, and I noticed the manipulative spirit that he had. So I had to just let him go. And that was one of the toughest things ever. He wasn't really like on the street. He was with a family member, but he got into some trouble. it was, you know, a little difficult for him. But I'm happy to say now to have a praise report, because now, you know, he's 26. He's actually just moved back into my home about a week ago. because he took another local truck driver position. But it's just a praise report in itself, because at one point I really thought that I was going to be burying him. So just to get through that, that was really a tough period, because he was doing some things. And I have to admit that as a mother, I wasn't, none of us are a perfect parent, but I was kind of doing some things too and not really paying attention to what was really going on with him, because I was in that broken period, in that broken space, and I was, you know, trying to heal but not really healing, because I was kind of going from one relationship to the next. And, you know, so, but again, just a praise report now, because he's in a better place, and a much better place. And I'm really glad and thankful that now with my youngest son, that his father and I are now, you know, we can co-parent effectively. That was not always the case either. That was a chore. And I fought tooth and nail, did not want my son to go live with him. But after a lot of prayer and meditation and just realizing it would be the best option or the best thing for him because he needed his dad, now I can say, you know, everything is gravy now. But everything was a chore, was a struggle. I had what I would call a fence of sisters around me who prayed with me. They listened to me cry. They, you know, if I needed them in the middle of the night, one of them would always say, girl, let me put my bra on. I'll be right there. So it's good to have a sisterhood of sisters with you that can, a wise, godly sisters with you on the journey that can help you as you're getting through. That was a big plus for me as well.
That is really awesome. As you said that, you know, because life it has its ups and downs. Everything's not always great, but everything is not always rough and rocky also. But I'm so glad to hear that you and your ex-husband have come together, the co-parent. Some people haven't got to that point, and co-parent can be difficult, but you want to do what's best for the child, like you said. And y'all came to understand it, and y'all on a have a great relationship, you, him, and your child, and that's what it's all about. You know, we can cohabitate together, meaning we can live our separate and don't hate each other, but respect each other and live our separate lives separately. There's nothing wrong with that.
And then you mentioned, we have to get to that point to co-parent effectively, you know. Just because we didn't make it, you know, we still have a child to raise or whatever. So, and he's actually remarried, and I love his wife. She's absolutely, you know, she's a great person, and we get along. So everything works out good. Some people think that's a little strange, but, you know, it's only if you make it strange, if that makes sense. But I think she's a really nice person.
I agree, because, you know, it's a new day, you know, and take, like you said, after you have time to heal and move on, you don't left that bitterness and hatred behind, and you can just, like I said, move on and still have respect and love for each other in a different type of way, but you're not mad and bitter and angry, and you're not carrying that hostility around. You done moved on.
Right.
You have your life, you have his life. So, yeah, I understand that totally. Now, I'm glad you mentioned you had a support system. You said sisters that pray.
Yeah.
That was there, you could call anytime. So right now you still have those type of sisters or mentors or advisors,
sure,
or spiritual mother, as people say.
Yes, I do. I still have my sisters. I still have my fence. And I wouldn't trade them for nothing in the world. It's so funny how these particular sisters came in my life. We actually volunteered, sort of, to do a women's conference together. A women's retreat together. So we did a women's retreat for our church. And during the retreat, you know, I had to say I was still in that place, you know, because I was still hanging on to my boo and still, you know, trying to go to the church on Saturday and just, you know, whatever. I was still in that place. But in that period, we became I don't know. It's like it was just kind of ordained because we all just were just there for each other. Like, I wasn't looking for any friends. I had friends. I had my ride or dies, and, you know, I was happy with them and, you know, all of that. But after we did that first retreat, you know, it was just so awesome that the women wanted us to do the next retreat. So we did the next retreat. And so we have been friends ever since that first retreat. It's just been us. And I tell you, I thank the world for them, because they're just, I can't even describe. We're all have our different personalities and we're all, you know, in different places, but together, collectively, we just, I can't even describe it. We're sisters for life. We're sisters for life. We actually even have like a weekly prayer call on Sundays. We all just get on the phone and we have a conference call and we talk about what's going on and we pray. And, you know, it's really uplifting to be able to. And like if I'm going through something during the day, I can just shoot out a group text, hey, guys, pray, you know, and I know that they're praying. So sometimes I don't have to. Sometimes they just text and, you know, be like, you know, somebody going through something, I feel it, I'm praying, you know. It's just awesome to have that type of connection with women and there not be jealousy and there not be strife and there not be the biting and the backstabbing and, you know, just pure love for one another.
Awesome. Yeah, pure love, no competition, you know, no hatred, but just love, not people who got their own. sometimes people have their own agenda for you, you know, they're your friends, but they're really not your friends. They're out to get something. So that's awesome. Tony, you're doing all wonderful things. You got the life all together. So now you know.
Girl, it ain't all together. I got some stuff.
it sounds pretty all together. Now, since we mentioned that. And so the next part is about surviving. Now, you know, Miss Pink got her phrases, you know, we not surviving to thrive. So are you thriving now? You're not just surviving, you're thriving. You feel like you're thriving in life?
I feel like I'm thriving in life. I'm surviving. every day is not rosy. Every day is not easy. There are some challenges. I actually have some physical challenges. I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease in my early 20s and lived a pretty decent life after I had a lot of surgeries. But this year, actually, it came back. So I've actually started IV therapy for it every 6 to 8 weeks. I go into an infusion center and get medication for it. But even in that, I give God all the glory. Because one thing, I'm a nurse. And if anybody knows a nurse, you know, we're the worst patients ever, right? So when the doctor told me that he wanted me to take medicine, I was like, I ain't taking no medicine. And he was like, huh? I said, I'm not taking no medicine. I said, let me pray about this, you know. So I went to, I even went to like a natural kind of doctor and had them do some testing and stuff. And, you know, their program sounded really nice, but I didn't have that $3,000 out of pocket. So I said, let me go ahead and get this other test done, the traditional medicine test. So I had the test done, and he kind of showed me what I looked like, and he gave me a, you know, a picture, you know, if you don't do this, and you could end up with this. And, girl, he said that word colostomy. I said, oh, Lord, now you done messed up. Mm-hmm. Talking about a single woman with a pouch on her. Oh, no, okay, let's get this medicine. So I'm glad that I got the medicine. I do feel better with the medicine. I've also changed the way I eat in regard to that. So I've recently gave up meat. I am pretty much vegan, vegetarian. I started that about in July. So right now, yes, I feel like I'm thriving. There are some challenges with some things, but it's all good, you know. I try not to worry or stress anymore. when I get to that point, when things are bothering me, like right now my finances aren't like I really need them to be right now, but I just keep quoting or meditating on Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests made known unto God. I just, if I get in that place, I just start meditating on that word, you know, all things work together for my good because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose, you know. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I just, you know, and I keep doing what I love to do, which is my career and, you know, posting on my website and, you know, just trying to keep people encouraged.
That's awesome. And, you know, life is like that. We all got different challenges at different times, at different seasons in our life, but we got to keep pushing forward. And God said he's our strength, which, you know, refuge and rock. So if we just, you know, dwell in him, it will all work out for us. And that's awesome.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay, you got any last comments or things you want to share with us? Any last insight or encouragement for our listeners?
Well, since we talked about being single, saved, and surviving, I would just like to say to any of our listeners, especially to our women, you know that you're not alone. And know that God loves you. He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. You don't have to. I know we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So know who you are. And then don't sweat the small stuff. And don't hold on to the small stuff. When I went through my divorce, and God took me through the Bible and was showing me where he's not for divorce, he, the last scripture that he gave me that I remember, and I used it as my email signature, like it was just my scripture for a long time. And God was just constantly reminding me as I was going through this rebuilding and repurposing and renewing period. I think it's Philippians 3:13 or 12-13, but putting those things behind and pressing forward. It starts off with pretty much saying, no, I'm not all that I should be, but I'm forgetting those things of the past and pressing my way forward. So we're not ever going to be perfect. So don't beat yourself up. And know that you can rebuild. Know that, you know, you can get to another place. Like when I used to consider myself like Rahab in the Bible for the longest time because I knew that I had, you know, I had lived a life. I'd done some things, you know, whatever. But I'm no longer that person. You know, I can't hold on to those things that I used to do. You know, I've repented. I've asked for forgiveness. Move on. So if you are listening and you know, have done some things, whatever, if you repent it, move on. Don't bring it back up. Don't hold yourself down about it, whatever. Know that you can do better and you can be better. So that's what kind of helped me for the longest time, though, just remembering that I'm not all that I should be. But I can forget those things of the past because they're the past. And when I look back, a lot of those things help me grow and help me be the better person that I am today, if that makes sense.
You sure do. And especially as we're talking about, you know, single, saving, surviving, and when you come to Christ, he said all things are made new. So I'm glad you said
exactly.
That. You know, rebuild yourself, you're a new creature in Christ, repurpose yourself, you know, it's new things ahead. You know, he definitely don't see us as we are, but as we can be. And that's what's really awesome. He knows what we can be. He sees at our best. We only see ourselves at our worst most of the time. And we are worst critics.
Right.
That's the truth.
Yes, we are. But he loves us with our imperfections. Mm-hmm. And he can take our imperfections and use them So, you know, and you can be a testimony. You know, I can testify to women now, you know, about how I went through my divorce and how I healed from my divorce. I can, you know, witness to women now about, yes, you can live a celibate life and be happy and not be worried, you know, whatever. And it's just, you don't have to do things to keep a man or be with a man or, you know, whatever. You know, love yourself. And God will take care of the rest, you know, in due time, in due season. So I never thought I could be celibate. But it's so easy for me at this point in my life. It's been easy for the last, you know, few years. But I just never thought that I would do that or that I could do that, you know. If that makes sense, but yeah. But you can. All things are possible.
With God, all things are possible. That's right. It can be done, ladies.
All things.
So what do you have planned for 2018? I know you said you have your cup line coming out. You're still doing, you say you don't see a new book coming ahead. Not right now. But you're still doing the One Word Life Ministry. And you say you're partnering up with other ministries. So that's all that's on the agenda for right now for 2018.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I do want to do more events this year. And when I say events, I mean more, maybe more speaking events, more conferences and things like that, more empowerment type things. I'm in a couple of groups and things like that. So it just support my sisters more and other ministries more. So whatever God has in store, whatever he has in store. But I'm really excited about the women's ministry and the things that we have going on and the conference that we have upcoming in October.
Oh, great. So make sure you tell us where we can find you at and what events you may have coming up shortly. Are they going to be posted on your website? I know your cup line is coming out. You know when you're going to start that off?
Really for sure. Probably February or March. But I can be found on Facebook, One Word for Life Ministry. I'm also on Instagram, One Word for Life, and I'm on Facebook too. Tony Mapson is my personal page, but it doesn't matter. I kind of do both of them together. So you can pretty much find me. Oh, and I'm on Twitter. See, what's my Twitter name? I think my Twitter name is Tony Mapson. Or is it one word? Probably One Word for Life. Most of all my pages are One Word for Life.
One word for life. Okay. Everybody, you heard her, Tony Mapson, where you can find her at One Word Life Ministries, One Word on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It was such a pleasure talking with you, Tony. You're doing some amazing things. Thank you for sharing your testimony with us. We so appreciate it.
Now, anytime.
Before we get out of here, we want to thank all our sponsors, listeners, and of course our network family. And make sure you stay connected to Sage Network by liking and following us and haunting us on all social media. All right, everyone, have a good night. Till next time. Stay safe, avoid the drama, and raise those babies. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.